Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
Todd Feinberg Show, live from the NJ Diet Studios on WTIC News Talk 1080.
Well, well, well. Good afternoon. What's going on? Monday, another week, another delightful, crazed, insane American week. What fun it is to be here. We've got rants. We're going to start off with rants. We'll take some phone calls at 3:35. Dick Morris is here to talk about some of the politics of the last week. And then at 5 o'clock hour, Bob Stefanowski is supposed to be here in studio taking phone calls, talking to you at 860-522-9842. That's a lay of the land. Let's play some rants, though. Okay.
Hey, Todd, the more the Democrats harass Trump, the more I want him back in office. Goodbye.
Now, is that not a common dynamic? Did you hear that? Let me give it to you again. Tell me if you agree or disagree with this.
Hey, Todd, the more the Democrats harass Trump, the more I want him back in office. Goodbye.
I would say lots of people have that feeling. That was my initial reaction to it. Right off the bat, bang. Oh, yeah, Trump looks different now.
Same here. And I never even voted for him, and I felt that way.
What happened? Why do you look different, do you think? Any thoughts about why that happened to you?
I think just the fact that people get treated differently outside of the structure, that's the big thing for me. And on top of that, just the double-sided nature of everything. And this at least gives him something to focus on that's here and now, rather than the kind of... He was just going in such a vicious cycle with the 2020 election.
Yes. Retroactive as opposed to proactive.
I can't stop this feeling deep inside of me.
I believe he's singing the Trump song here. The same question being asked. This is his answer.
Girl, you just don't realize what you do to me when you hold me in your arms so tight. You let me know everything's all right. I'm hooked up feeling. I'm believing that you're in love with me.
By the way, Rosalie, my wife.
Hooked on a feeling.
You know this song.
This kind of got like a resurgence recently because there's this movie, Guardians of the Galaxy, where there's like a mixtape in it, and this is like the big song.
It's a great song.
Love. Yeah.
I wonder whose vocal is better, ours on the rant line or this guy? Because they're both. You know what? I like when he changes. He throws in his own thing and his own variation on the melody. He's right on pitch, I think.
When you hold me in your arms so tight, you let me know.
Those are his rewrites. All right, not right on pitch, but pretty close.
When you hold me.
That part right there. He doesn't do that. I don't think.
We could compare it if you want.
Boom, boom. It's a good song. So Rosalie said today, she was talking with somebody on the phone about Donald Trump. And she said, you know what Trump's problem is? I'm trying to think how she put it. He doesn't have, he wants his penis to be bigger, was the way she described it. And then she riffed off of that and came to the conclusion that he's gay. That's the problem, is Trump is gay. So she wanted me to throw that out to you for reaction. She thinks the reason he acts in such a belligerent manner, in such an aggressive manner, is because he questions his manhood. 860-522-9842.
Hi, ladies and gentlemen, it's Ned Lamont here. Yeah, I want to say something about the dirty election that's coming up, and it's already starting. I've seen Bob Stefanowski putting his signs out on the side of the highway. I'm ordering all the Department of Transportation crews to pick up all the Bob Stefanowski signs.
He would do that in a second, wouldn't he? Anybody doubt that?
Hi, Todd. How are you? Hey, I got a new title for our illustrious president.
Mm-hmm.
He's Joe Bygone, CEO of Dumpster USA.
Is that like Biden is a dumpster fire?
People, wake up. The Attorney General is the head. It is no longer the FBI. It is the National Socialist Workers Party. Ray is the same as Colby. We need to trust in God again.
Wow. Times have changed.
Hi, it's Chrissy. I think everybody in Connecticut should be allowed from Connecticut's dollars to plant a tree, a fruit or vegetable tree,
mm-hmm.
in front of everybody's yard. And I think Connecticut should pay for it. It would help with the shortage on food. It would help on homeless people not being able to eat. It would help on so many levels. And I think this is a really good thing that we should do.
I think that proposal will get shifted probably into everybody living in an underserved community should get a free tree to plant or planted in front of their yard. But it's a nice idea because, you know, money grows on trees. So if you had more trees, there'd be more money for everybody.
Hey, Todd, it's an old friend. I used to call the rant line quite a bit, and I actually called and sang a few jingles to you last week.
But that was nice.
That's not why I'm calling. Mm-hmm. I'm calling because ever since the new Odyssey app was installed in my phone, apparently even without my permission.
Yeah, it must have a default setting that you automatically, by downloading the app, you're accepting.
Yeah, when you agree to the terms and everything, that's like in it.
It's automatically just going to download. Because I was surprised to see the new one there. It should have a button, too, if you want to go back.
Well, it doesn't work that way. Like, once they update it, they don't want you to go back.
I know they don't want to, but they don't want you to be miserable calling up your own radio station to complain about it, either.
I have not been able to get more than, I don't know, a few minutes of ability to listen to you, TIC. And I don't live in Connecticut anymore because I'm one of the people who flew to Florida in the recent, well, not recent, in the last 20-year decline of Connecticut, 30-year decline. Anyway, I am desperate to get my talk shows back. Oh, maybe not the early morning one. Just not the same without Ray. Anyway, that's my story, and I'm sticking to it. Help. Your Odyssey app isn't working.
So, Anthony, maybe you have a fancy phone like Anthony does. It might not be fully rewritten yet for the iOS 27 or whatever the latest operating system.
Yeah, there's so many factors, like the operating system you're running, the version of the app that you have at this moment.
Device it's on.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's complicated. Wait, where did that call go? Dave, Glastonbury, I want you back. Where'd he go? He wanted to defend Ned Lamont.
Well, he didn't like the Ned Lamont imitator.
Come on.
He said he sounds nothing like Ned Lamont.
Oh, he feels just like him to me. The actual Ned Lamont sounds fake to me. But I want to hear why you support Ned. All Ned supporters in the state of Connecticut, please call right now and explain what it is that makes you support Jolly Ned. 860-522-9842. Did you want to give your reason?
I was going to say that means you, great patriot. I wanted to call in live. Come on.
Can he do that?
I don't think he has ever.
No, I think he did once, but it seems so long ago. I can't recall. Quick break. We'll talk more coming up. WTIC.
Miss something from the Todd Feinberg Show? Listen to the podcast on WTIC.com/podcast.
Yep, WTIC at your servizio. 860-522-9842, Dolly in Bristol. Hello, Dolly.
Hi, how are you?
Dolly, are you calling to express your love and admiration for Ned Lamont?
No, I'm not.
Oh, too bad.
I'm calling to express my feelings about former President Trump.
Excellent. Go ahead.
Okay. Let me just explain first. I knew him from New York, how much he accomplished. I remember him stepping in when the city of New York couldn't get the work done in Central Park. He stepped in and got it done.
Are you talking about the skating rink?
Yes. Uh-huh. He was good at getting that done. He worked with the people and got it done. Otherwise, it would have drawn on for years. Okay, another thing, I understand how people feel about former President Trump says. I myself found myself, turning off muting the TV at certain times. But I was looking at what he accomplished in his 4 years under the constant harassment he received mm-hmm. from the Democratic Party. It was unbelievable. And I will say this to people. Yes, he has a roughness about him. But one thing you have to realize is this man worked with unions for years. And you can't tell me that when these guys got together that they were sweet-talking one another, saying, oh, how are you today? Oh, I'm fine, thank you. It's not like that. Be understanding. For crying out loud, open your minds and realize that the business he was in was not an easy business for anybody. The unions did beautiful work for him. They all worked together. But believe me, I don't think it was good day, that type of an atmosphere.
No, I think that's a really good point, Dolly. People are naive about what it's really like down in the trenches, the front lines of trying to put up buildings or be a developer. Some of those incredibly hard.
And I don't take anything away from all the union people, the carpenters, the painters, and everything. They've done beautiful jobs. But I don't think that they're standing there thinking, oh, my goodness, I can't say that because somebody's going to be offended.
Yeah.
They're guys. Understand, guys.
Well, not just guys, but guys in pursuit of power and guys who have a lot of power because of the union system. Is a twisted system that gives too much power to a special interest group. And they use that power to achieve leverage over things. And it's pushing back against that leverage that's difficult.
But as I say, they're guys and they're together. And when you get a bunch of guys together, they're not going to be talking like when you have mothers and fathers together, believe me.
Yes.
And I think people should understand that and stop getting so, Just mute him when you don't like what he's saying at the moment. But remember all he did in the 4 years that he was president under the most difficult circumstances that yep. he's still going through.
We got you, Dolly. Thank you so much for that. Good to hear from you. 860-522-9842. Dolly, of course, talking about the days when there was a difference between men and women and girls and boys before we realized that they're all the same thing. And there are no gender differences. It's hard to believe we ever believed that, isn't it? That we thought there were gender differences?
Yeah, you're so ignorant.
Yeah, it's easier, though. Now that I've come to accept it, that there's no such thing as men and women. It's just, life is so much easier. Rosalie and I were laughing about it this morning. I forget which story it was. There was one of those transgender stories. And, I think maybe it was New Haven. I've got to talk about the New Haven story. But I think it was, she was saying, imagine the girls and the boys shoes. Like, if you're buying shoes for a one-year-old, same department, the high heels will be in the same place as the army boots. They'll be right next to each other. They're all going to be merged into a single pot. She was reading something about, there were these guys who were talking. No, it was, well, anyway, it was this specific voice who was talking about the transgender issue for kids and objecting to how it's being treated in the schools. And he was saying, we're just trying to, he said, you have to understand there are kids who at birth know which gender they are, and it's not the one that's the body they were born into. Under a year, he said.
That's absolutely insane.
I was going, under a year? You can't even stand up.
You don't know anything when you're under a year.
No.
You know literally nothing.
But the argument would be that somehow there's something innate in you that knows, that supersedes your own developmental naivetes that make it impossible for you to know or to express. But it's nuts. And the statement was, I said, well, you don't even walk. There was a statement that boys, infant boys, know they don't want to stand up to pee, the ones who are transgender. I was like, wait a second. You can't stand up till you're like, 18 months old when you're a baby boy?
I mean, I'm kind of cool with the whole let's genderize the, I don't care where the shoes are. If the army boots and the heels are near each other, like, whatever, who cares? Like, I don't think the baby blue or light pink matters. I think that stuff's kind of just stupid. But at the same time, nobody under 1 year old is just questioning their gender. They don't know what a gender is. They don't know how to speak.
Yes, but normal people aren't desiring this change. That's my only problem with it. Change anything that's popularly desired. But it isn't. People are being intimidated, whether they run companies or run schools or on school boards or on city councils. Are they not being intimidated to go along with things that they know in their hearts are totally moronic in order to satisfy, in order to keep themselves safe?
I think they're only doing it to make the other side look bigoted. Like, I think most of this transgender stuff, even though transgenders are definitely part of the population, and there are people that once they're of age want to transition and become a different gender, which shouldn't be a big deal. Once you're 18 years old, whatever, do what you want in this country. But I think most of this is to make the right look like bigots, for the most part, because a lot of it is logic. Like, oh, I don't want my kid under fifth grade learning about gender studies or transitioning. Like, that should be logical. But then they frame that as something extreme.
Well, except it's ultimately, I think that stuff is going to hurt. If Democrats lose in this election cycle, it will largely be because people have realized, even though it's not wise to talk about it, they don't think, and they won't talk about it, I think they will vote on the idea that Democrats are the party that believes that a biological male should get to decide to be a female swimmer and compete. And that stuff everybody knows is crazy. All right.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Now, back to the Todd Feinberg Show, live from the NJ Diet Studios on WTIC News Talk 1080.
WTIC, good afternoon. Don't forget, last hour today, Bob Stefanowski will be in studio for the hour. We'll take calls. We'll chat about the race. You can ask the question you want to ask of him. Joining us right now, though, Dick Morris. Dick Morris, author of a new book, and out there talking about everything going on in the world, because that's what he does. Tell us about the new book, Dick.
Well, it's called The Return. Trump's big comeback win in 2024. And in it, I tie together all of the things that are happening, predicting that they'll happen. The IRS raid, Mar-a-Lago raid. I predicted that they would do that to try to dig up dirt on Trump related to January 6th, because their strategy is to try to defeat him, to beat him any way they can. And they had hoped that the January 6th committee would discredit him with Republican voters, but it obviously didn't, because he kept winning these primaries, like he leaving one in Connecticut. And what they're now trying to do is to get evidence to convince courts and voters that he was not expressing the opinion that the election of 2020 was rigged and fixed, but that he was inciting a revolution, an insurrection, a coup d'etat against the American government when he said that. And the reason they're doing that goes back to 1866, the year after the Civil War. The Confederate states, when they got readmitted to the Union, elected slates of Confederate generals and office holders, including the Confederacy Vice President, Alexander Stephens, who was elected senator from Georgia. And the Republicans who ran Congress and supported the Civil War said, this won't do. We're not going to give it away at the ballot box, especially when blacks can't vote. So they passed a clause in the 14th Amendment that said if you were involved in a revolution against the American government, you can't hold public office. And what they're bent on doing now, the Democrats, is to try to blow everything out of proportion and to try to say Trump was leading an insurrection. And they, the raid at Mar-a-Lago was a pretext. It's not documents they're after for archives. They gather dust there. It's to try to find compromising material that they can take out of context and use to bolster their
case. It's what else they might have found inside those boxes, yeah, or inside that storage room.
And let me say something else. They are hiring these 87,000 IRS agents, which I talk about in my book, to intimidate the American people. Collecting revenue has nothing to do with it, because they know they're not going to get much more from rich people. And what they're trying to do is to find something on everybody. So a year ago Tuesday, you had lunch and he claimed it was a business expense. Well, we checked with the restaurant. You were alone. And now you committed a criminal violation by lying on your tax return. And we, by the way, are really upset that you say the election was stolen and you're aligning yourself with Trump. But if you think you're way past that and you're not so outspoken, maybe we won't prosecute you. And that's what they do in Eastern Europe, and it's what they're doing here. They no longer send people to the gulag. They just dig up technical violations and hold them over their heads. And for that, you need 87,000 new agents with guns. Normally, you just need agents with pencils. But when you're trying to intimidate the American people, you need something stronger. And that is their game. That's what they're after. Listen, I've written 13 New York Times bestsellers. I need a 14th in all these interviews, like a hole in the head. I'm doing this because I want to warn people about the imminent danger that confronts us as these events unravel and as I put them into context based on the political situation.
Mm-hmm. So as we look at the threat that the Democrats see Trump as, their fear is he's a force they can't beat at the ballot box. So you're suggesting right. that because he's an unbeatable force, he's so much smarter than them, and he's so much better at running the country, obviously, than they are, that now they just feel they have to destroy him. And they're manipulating. Yes. All this is a manipulation to use the law against Donald Trump.
Yes, precisely.
Why are they so bad at politics when that's their business? It's not Donald Trump's business. So why are they better at it? I mean, I'm sorry, why is he better at it than them?
Well, it's not that he's better at it. It's that he has a pretty good hand to play. You look at inflation, 2% under him. Gas prices, $1.80 under him.
Well, that's my point. He did it better. And Biden came in and on purpose, it seems, said to everybody, come on up from Mexico, we'll let you in, and did the same kind of thing with everything.
There's a motivation for each of those. Come on up from Mexico is to stuff the ballot with Latino voters who they think are going to vote Democrat. They're not, but they think they are. Spending the extra money that causes inflation is so they can pass out goodies to people and reward them and use them for patronage. All of this stuff has motives that are political. And that's really what Trump is.
Yes, but if Trump is so much better at this business than they are, part of the reason is because their motives are not the best interests of the American people. Why for a couple of years didn't they just sit there and let Trump's policies stay in place?
Well, because they're ideologically opposed to it. The ultimate genesis of it is that they are globalists and Trump is a nationalist. And ultimately, the globalists want to weaken the United States because it's the outpost of democracy. It's really the only truly democratic nation on earth. In Europe, the governments don't, the local governments, for example, are not elected. And the European Union is run by bureaucrats, not elected officials. And the United States is the standout, the holdout. And if Lenin once wrote, you can't have socialism in just one country because all the capital will flow to the other countries. And that's why they have to discipline the United States and bring it into line. Mm-hmm. But, you know, there's a race going on in Connecticut that I'd love to tell people about, the Levy-Blumenthal race. Do we have a minute to do that?
Yeah. But I just don't want to lose this thread because I'm confused by the motives of the Democrats. And I think everybody is. Why? So if you can just, I mean, it's fine to talk about Leora, but I just want to know why they're so self-destructive. What we're saying here is
let me elaborate.
They ran the country badly on purpose because that's good for them politically, but yet they've got this Trump crisis, which seems like their biggest crisis.
Yeah, it is, and they are trying to derail him by illegitimate means. But you take gas prices, for example. The reason the Democrats go crazy about climate change and global warming is because the globalists need a global crisis that can transcend national boundaries.
To get rid of countries, John Lennon's Imagine.
Well, yeah, get rid of boundaries, right. And by an international crisis, you're right, it's Lennon's song, L-E-N-N-O-N, to try to create global crises that lead to global solutions. It all goes back to 1980, okay?
François
Mitterrand ran for president of France, and he was the first socialist who was ever elected. And his program was nationalize everything, and he did. He took about a third of the French economy and put it under government control, banks, railroads, utilities, chemical companies, car companies, the whole bit. And then all the capital in France fled to Margaret Thatcher's Britain and Ronald Reagan's America, and France went into a deep depression. I know because I was running the campaign of his
So
opponent,
Thatcher's brilliance was powered by Mitterrand's stupidity?
And Reagan's, too. All the capital left France because they didn't want to pay his taxes and they didn't want socialism. So the next election, Mitterrand did something brilliant. He co-opted all of Chirac's agenda and repealed all of his socialist laws, repealed every single one of them, privatized all those companies. And Chirac lost the next election to Mitterrand because he'd abandoned his basic principle. But the socialists learned the lesson from that. You cannot leave the U.S. and Britain free. You have to get them to adopt socialism because otherwise you can't have it in France and Germany, Italy, and the other countries of the world because the capital will flee. And they set up the European Union, changing it from a trade bloc to a socialist government. And they promoted Obama in the United States and then Biden to try to achieve the socialist agenda. And then Donald Trump got in the way and screwed up their plans. And now they have to get rid of him any way they can. And that led to the Mar-a-Lago raid and led to why they have these extra agents.
So you're just talking to Dick Morris. You're describing the Democrats as having two tracks that they're operating on. But track one is they share power of operating the most powerful nation on earth with the Republicans. And that's not good enough. So as a subtextual goal, they seek to destroy the principles upon which America is built and change it into being like all the other countries on the planet so that they can drive it in. It will submit to their will.
Absolutely. And it's because they're globalists. They think in terms of the problems of the globe. And they see the United States as
an impediment to fixing those problems because we're so greedy and self-centered.
Well, they see the U.S. as the richest country. It's like 4% of the world's population, and it's about 30% of the world's GDP. And when we adopt an America First agenda, they say, America first. You're fabulous.
America's always first.
Compared to everybody else. Mm-hmm. Let's make you poorer and make everybody else richer. And that's the globalist agenda. And there are some dunderheads, some Neanderthals in the U.S. who still cling to their guns and Bibles. That's Obama's quote.
Yeah.
And they're deplorables. That's Hillary's quote.
Yeah.
And we have to vanquish them, and we can do that by globalizing the United States.
Dick Morris, that was beautiful. All right, let's talk about Leora Levy, who is, I love saying this, Dick, she is the Republican nominee for U.S. Senate in the state of Connecticut.
Yeah. Well, let me give her some advice through this network, okay, and explain to your listeners what's going on. Why don't Republicans win blue states more than they do? And it's because what happens is that the Republican comes in
yes.
and states the obvious case
yes.
about inflation, about gas prices, about immigration, about unemployment, about Ukraine, about all that stuff. And people say, yeah, that's true. That's why I'm going to vote Republican. Then the Democrats come back and attack and say, hey, wait a minute. Abortion, guns, and Trump's antics. Those are three reasons you have to stay with the Democratic Party. And what the Republicans should do is answer those charges. Leora Levy, for example, should get out there and say, look, I'm personally pro-life. And I applaud the Supreme Court decision, which takes this out of the realm of federal policy and puts it in the realm of states. But let's be honest, Connecticut's never going to repeal abortion. Connecticut's blue. And I'm not going to waste my time trying it. Leave Connecticut's laws in place, but give the rest of the country the same option Connecticut has to choose its own policies. And on guns, say that with the defunding the police force, and crippling the cops we have by the stuff Blumenthal likes, which is to make them liable for civil liability for any time they arrest someone or violate their civil rights by putting them in handcuffs and stuff. We're crippling the police. And to compensate for that, we have got to allow concealed carry so people can protect themselves. And the problem that I see is that Republicans love to attack the Democrats. But they don't love to be on defense. Their political doctrine is always offense. And for Leora to win, it's not just a question of convincing people that the Democrats have misled the country and that Blumenthal is part of it. You have to be prepared to go on defense if you're in a blue state and say, no, I'm not going to mess with abortion. I'm not going to allow AK-47 rifles all over the place. But I will take sensible steps to make sure all of America can, in fact, adopt their own laws, really the right to choose, and that people can defend themselves when the police force is crippled.
Dick Morris, the book is called The Return, Trump's Big 2024 Comeback. Thank you, sir, for taking the time to talk to us.
Great. Bye-bye.
We'll see you soon. Dick Morris. Check out his new book. You know, I don't always buy Dick Morris, but he made more sense there, or I got him to explain in such a way that I understood him better. I thought that was really powerful, the way he laid it out. 860, your thoughts? 860-522-9842.
Something from the Todd Feinberg Show? Listen to the podcast on WTIC.com/podcast.
Good afternoon. Yep, 5 o'clock hour. We did the 2 or 3 weeks ago, I think we had Bob Stefanowski in studio. Everybody packed the phone lines, asked him questions the whole hour. It was a great hour. So he suggested that we do it again, and he's doing it this afternoon, 5 to 6. And right now, it's not the 5 o'clock hour, so we're not doing that right now. We're taking phone calls. We're playing rants. We are having conversations We just talked to Dick Morris. Interesting. What did you think of what Dick Morris had to say about the State of the Union and what Democrats are up to? I thought that was pretty good. Steve in Springfield, hi. Yes, sir, Steve. Hello, Steve. Yes, hello, Steve. I don't know what's going on, but can you check the phones when you have a moment there, Antonio? Because I'm hearing nothing. I'm hearing nothing from Steve. Let's try Tom in Harwinton. Hi, Tom.
Hey, Feinberg. What's going on?
Harwinton. Nothing much.
Hey, I find it funny how Dick Morris just laid out a globalist conspiracy theory for why our country is going the way it is. But when callers call you up and explain you the same theory, you call them conspiracy theorists and don't agree with them and just call it the ineptitude of a government.
I've not heard somebody make the argument that he made and have me call that.
Are you kidding me?
I have not heard anybody make that particular argument that I've responded that way to. And why? The reason it's not
going on in this country is a globalist conspiracy. You haven't heard that.
He wasn't saying no. He wasn't saying it's a globalist conspiracy. Yes. What he was saying, Tom, since you're out of your mind right now, I'll leave you on hold for a while so you can calm down, and then maybe we can talk. But what he was saying is that they believe that we need to get that we need to be stopped from running a capitalist country because that doesn't allow other countries the freedom to operate the way they want to. And that explains the duality of why they're shooting themselves in the foot at the same time as they're campaigning. I mean, it's just insane what they're doing. So, yeah, I've not heard that explanation before and not considered in that way. If that upsets you, I don't know what to do about you being upset. Let's see if we can get a calm, lucid explanation from you. Go ahead, Tom.
You've had multiple people, including me, telling you this is a globalist, worldwide conspiracy for taking countries down and making them part of a global government.
But he wasn't saying that.
Tom. Can I speak?
Well, I just want to make the point that what you
can
just
said.
Yes,
just
you can.
Speak.
Hold on one sec. I want you to understand that what you just said is different from what Dick Morris said, in my opinion. Now you can speak.
Incorrect.
Go ahead.
I keep hearing myself repeating myself. There's a reverberation. I'm sorry for any confusion. But there's been multiple callers, including me, that have told you what's going on in this country is a global conspiracy to make us a global government.
Yes, but what he said is he did not say there's a global conspiracy. He said Democrats are globalists, and they want to take away the Democrats who are Americans and who are running for office in this country have as a goal eliminating America's capitalism. That's not a worldwide conspiracy. That's a Democrat conspiracy in this country. So it's a different kind of idea, and it's not a theory. It's what they're doing. 860-522-9842.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.